This is the 2019 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and the Center for Western Studies. Here's Kara Hetland with today's top legislative news in Pierre.
State Republicans are rejecting a call from Democrats to study the state's tax structure. South Dakota is a low-tax state, but Democrats point to the state's low wage as a problem. State Representative Ray Ring is a doctor of economics. He says taxes relative to personal income in South Dakota places the state 47th in the country. Ring says the state needs to look closer at the tax structure.
And what we'll see is that we're one of the few states left that still tax farm equipment, that still tax manufacturing equipment, that still tax utilities, business utilities. And so all that tax business on, or tax burden on businesses, I think, may be discouraging economic development.
House Bill 1156 sought to establish a multi-year task force to study the state's tax structure by bringing in out-of-state experts to examine the issue. Ring says the state's tax structure has not been studied in 30 years. State Senate leadership says municipal utilities and rural electric co-op officials are working on a compromise to a policy dispute about service areas. A bill this session strips the ability of municipalities to provide electricity to annexed territories. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
It's an issue that transcends partisan politics. Current state law allows a municipality to seize utility service with any annexed land, meaning municipal utilities are allowed to acquire customers serviced by electric co-ops. Municipal utilities are generally able to provide electricity at a lower rate, which can be used to court businesses for economic development. But that action takes away from rural electric co-ops who serve electricity to the far reaches of the state. Senate Bill 66 would put a freeze on territory acquired by municipal utilities. Representative Jamie Smith is the minority leader in the House. He says it's a sensitive issue.
In the Democratic caucus, at least within the House, we have our members vote their conscience and what's best for their district, and those don't always align on a whole caucus level, especially on an issue like that. And so we definitely instruct our people to do what they need to do, and that's where we stand.
Those two types of electricity providers are working on a compromise to settle what's allowed in state statute when acquiring territory, according to legislative leadership. State Senator Chris Langer is the majority leader in the Senate. She says the Republican caucus does not have a position on the bill either.
I've been involved in some negotiations. They're really trying to work some things out and made a lot of progress. So I'm hoping that eventually that the two sides will reach an agreement and we won't see it legislatively at all.
It's a vote that lawmakers would like to avoid, but one that may come down to how their district is served. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierre.
Defendants facing allegations of third-degree rape might not be able to rely on the claim that they didn't know a victim was too intoxicated to consent. Senate Bill 107 has cleared its first hurdle in the Senate Judiciary Committee. The bill is designed to undo the effects of a 2011 state Supreme Court opinion that overturned a rape conviction. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has this report.
Deputy Attorney General Charles McWiggin says prior to the 2011 Supreme Court opinion, the state had only to prove how intoxicated the victim was. Afterward, the burden shifted.
We had to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant knew the victim was incapable of consenting. And unless the victim is passed out, that is virtually an impossible hurdle for us to prove.
The Supreme Court issued the opinion based on the way the state's rape statutes were written. Justices said if the legislature had intended to make third-degree rape a strict liability crime, it would have done so. Now SB 107 is designed to do so. It clarifies that the crime of third-degree rape does not include an element that the defendant knew or should have known that the victim was incapable of giving consent. Third-degree rape also includes offenses against victims under the age of 16 or incapable of giving consent because of a mental incapacity. Paul Bichand is a lobbyist for the State's Attorneys Association. He tells the committee that the state doesn't have to prove a defendant was aware of the age or mental impairment.
And that's what we suggest it should be as it relates to intoxication.
Two committee members voted against the bill. One of them is retired attorney Craig Kennedy, who asked Bashand how to determine that a victim was too drunk to give consent.
I mean, is this a blood alcohol test? Is it 0.08? Is it 0.15? What is it?
Bashand responds that the burden of proof will return to pre-2011 standards.
As the evidence is presented to the jury, and the jury will make the determination beyond reasonable doubt that those facts exist.
SB 107 now goes to the full Senate for consideration. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
The House Transportation Committee approves a bill increasing the punishment for improperly using cell phones, laptops, or tablets while driving. House Bill 1088 makes it a primary offense with a Class 2 misdemeanor for motorists who are distracted by using mobile devices to text, use social media, or take photos or video. Current state law penalizes those who text while driving with a petty offense and a $100 fine. Representative and former Sioux Falls Police Chief Doug Barthel sponsors the bill. He says making the change will improve public safety.
If you know that you're going to be pulled over, cited, and face fines, the knowledge is likely to change behaviors, reduce accidents, and most importantly, save lives.
Barthel says Sioux Falls and several other cities already treat the issue as a primary offense. In response to a question from committee chair Representative John Mills, Barthel says law enforcement can impose the upgraded penalty.
I know there have been some sort of like sting operations where in some cities where they've been successful, where they might just have an officer in plain clothes standing at an intersection watching where people pull up, or you can pull up alongside of a car in your squad car and you'd be surprised how people are not focused on things around them, and you can probably just look right in the window and see what they're doing. So there are ways to enforce it.
House Bill 1088 does allow motorists to use cell phones to dial emergency services, to use the device in hands-free mode, or to use the phone as a GPS. The measure also lets drivers enter a telephone number to complete a call and turn a phone feature on or off. House Transportation passes the legislation to the full chamber on a 12-1 vote.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2019 State House Podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free sd.net app on your mobile device for committee meetings, floor sessions, agendas, and more during this year's legislative session. Be sure to also connect with us on social media by liking SDPB News on Facebook and by following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and the Center for Western Studies. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.